Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and we have a great guest in store for you today. I have Wendy Pilch with me, and Wendy is one of the co-founders of Millie & Main, an online subscription wardrobe company offering monthly looks and links for busy women. It is my pleasure to welcome Wendy to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Belinda.
Yeah, this is going to be great. So why don't we just start out and get to know you a little bit better? Tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit about the journey, and how you came to do Millie & Main today.
Great. So I started out in college. I was studying to be an early childhood educator, and I went all the way through college thinking I wanted to be a teacher. Part of my grad school, part of the way I paid for grad school was doing some helping in stores, helping women find outfits that worked best for them. And I always found that was a little bit of a hobby for me, but also something I thought I was good at. But yet, all along the way, I thought education is going to be the way I go. So here I move, I start teaching kindergarten, and I realize, wow, I'm living in Washington, D.C., very expensive town, and I'm teaching kindergarten, and I'm not really, you know, able to afford my rent, not really able to afford doing anything for fun. So I was talking to some friends, and they said, well, you know, you're really good at helping women put outfits together, and didn't you do a little bit of that in graduate school? And I said, yeah, but, you know, I don't know that there's really a market for that in this area. But I went ahead and hung my hat and said, I'm going to give it a try. And my name got out there. And so on the side, after teaching full days of kindergarten, I would go and help women in their closets, help determine what they needed, what they should get rid of, and also help them shop for what they needed. And little by little, I was doing more and more of that. And when I started to have a family of my own, I thought, you know, I think I probably have enough of a client base now. I would like the flexibility to just do some of this wardrobe styling. And so over the course of almost 15 years, I did in-home styling from everything from busy moms to congresswomen, TV personalities, and I was always thinking, because of the part that I loved most was helping women feel their best and help them maximize what they had. Wasn't always about going and buying a lot of new things, but helping them figure out how to put looks together with things they already owned. And so this idea of Millie & Main had been in the back of my head for a while. And it was, how can you do this type of, provide this type of service for somebody who A, might not have the time to spend with a personal stylist, or B, doesn't have the money to pay somebody an hourly rate to come and help them in their closet. So I was thinking of, how could you make this an easy, quick styling type subscription that a woman could go every month and say, here are some looks I'd like. Oh, wow, I actually have a lot of these pieces already, similar ones in my closet. I can make these too. Oh, I still need this piece. Click, I can order it, comes right to my house. I know that brand, I know my size in that brand, and I can make those looks. So that's really how I came full circle from kindergarten teacher to starting Millie & Main.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. I think it's important to note here that, you know, that was 15 years in the making of doing that. So,
right.
Yes. You know what? And that's, I love that you're sharing that, because I think too many times people say, well, I was doing this and I was unhappy, so I just decided to do this, and now I'm a huge success. And it's really hard for the listener listening to grasp that it didn't happen overnight. And it rarely ever happens overnight. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And, you know, some of the idea was there 15 years ago, but really having the confidence to take it to a larger scale, having the bandwidth, boy, the internet just catching up with being able to have all of these options at your fingertips to be able to create your own website so easily. Some of the things that I would have 15 years ago had to outsource a lot. Over the course of these years of the idea of Million Main, I was able to really bring it to fruition with the advances in technology, but also my confidence after styling so many women in home. I felt, wow, I think I could do this at a larger scale. And I think I've worked with, at this point, practically every body type, budget and lifestyle I could think of, that I really had the confidence to know that I could provide a service that would work for the majority of women.
That is great. And I think the other key point that you just made there is to really have that confidence and to really be able to serve well in a particular area that you're working on. It helps to have the practice, the expertise, the experience. I always tell people, go out and get experience. Even if you want to open a floral shop, then go work in a florist if that's what need be. You know, it's like to see, like, or to really master your craft, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I see that just a lot of people do not want to take the time to master a particular craft. And, you know, people look at the professional athletes and the money that they make, and people whine about that sometimes.
And I
get it. But it's like, at the same time, those people have been mastering that craft for thousands of hours since many of them were very, very young in age, like elementary age, where they're out shooting 2 hours of pucks, you know, at the garage door every day. And people just don't see that investment. It's almost like, oh, they, you know, got out of school and then started making millions of dollars. And there's mastering that craft is in there. And it's with anything that you choose to do. And I think it's just so important. And those were two big points that you made, you know, just kind of in your story, that sometimes people don't catch it, even when they're listening to it. And I just wanted to point those out.
And there's a lot of, and there's a lot of grit to get to this place. And people don't see the non-glamorous parts of the job that lead you to this point. When I think about over the course of the 15 years and all the clients I worked with and the hours I spent, you know, on my knees in people's closets, helping them, you know, fold pants and find the sock that goes with the other sock and, you know, schlepping bags in a mall with people and holding their things while they try on a dress to see if it's the right fit. You know, all of those pieces are certainly not glamorous, but it's part of the work that goes into creating a process that you then test time and time again to see if it will work for, you know, a larger group of people that still will need your help.
That is absolutely true. And that is so great that you offer that. So tell us a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, I will say that there isn't really an end point in the day at this point, and I know that a lot of the entrepreneurs out there will agree with me. I'm sure you do too, that it's hard to really shut it off because there's always an idea that you have and you want to put it into action right away, or you get feedback and you say, oh, I got this little bit of feedback. I want to quickly make that change. I do have two kids. I have a 13 and an 11-year-old and a terrific husband. I want to be present for them. So I think balancing that is still a work in progress. I try to start my day really early before everybody is up and get some of my to-do list going. But I will say that finding time to shut it all off and just be with them is hard. And it's a challenge that I work with every day. So being an entrepreneur isn't, you know, it's wonderful because you have that flexibility, but it also, you have to set parameters for yourself to say, you know what, even though my work day doesn't ever end, I'm going to make it end right now for the next few hours to be present with the people I love and care about and let them know that they are more important than the work.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about skill sets that you think that you have that have really contributed to your overall success over the years.
Well, I would say the two for me that are biggest is I'm a constant researcher. I will say that with fashion, I've always been, I'll see something, you know, on somebody, I'm in line in the grocery store and I go, that's a great top. We should use that in one of our looks. Well, I don't want to ask the person, you know, I don't want to get out of line and ask the person. So I'm going to take it as a challenge for myself to, you know, conquer the internet and figure out where that blouse is from. I have a little bit of a photographic memory, so I can kind of now picture the blouse in my head, get home and start looking. I think it could be from this store or this store. So constantly researching and finding the pieces that I want for our looks and our links. But also I constantly iterate. So I like to get feedback to know where we can improve. And I'm always trying to make the product better, and also better myself. So I can say sometimes that's a positive trait and a negative, because you can, you know, sometimes drive yourself crazy. You're always trying to improve. But where we've started with Millie and Maine, about a year and a half ago to where we are now is very different. And I think a lot of that is from those two pieces, the researching and also, the constant iterations.
Great. Do you ever walk up to a person, though, and say, I love that top. Where did you get it?
I do a lot. And people come up. I think that's probably one of the best ways that we have we've been able to tell people about Millie and Maine is when somebody comes up to me and says, I love that pair of shoes. Where'd you get that? And I say, actually, this is what I do. You know, check out our website and, you know, I'll show you lots of looks and links. But I'm not shy about asking somebody if I see them in line. We were at a museum recently, and there we were at the back of a really long line, and I saw this woman's pair of shoes, and I thought, we need those for the January looks and links. I got to go up there. My kids were mortified. They're like turning their back. We don't know you, Mom. But I went up and asked her, and you know what? People are flattered by that. I think people put a lot of time into how they look. There's a statistic out there that women spend 17 minutes every day trying to figure out what to wear. And so people are proud when they're wearing something that makes them feel good. They're not, you know, I don't think that they take any offense to telling you where it comes from. And you can see in someone's face when they feel good about how they look. That's really what keeps me doing what I do and keeps me going every day, is trying to help people. I want them to feel good every day in what they wear and bring that confidence into their work and their, you know, after work lives.
That is great. And I think people love compliments. I think people love to tell you where they got something, or that it was on sale, or
if it's a deal, they want to tell you right away exactly where it's from. Yes, definitely.
So I've always am encouraging people, as a part of just networking in general, is learn to always pay people compliments, because A, they love it, and it'll open up a conversation, because they'll usually then contribute to a conversation because they are excited to share something because it makes them feel really good.
So true. We all want to share and give and feel like we're, you know, contributing members of society. And so that opportunity to share is really important.
Absolutely. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments that you're really proud of?
I will say probably my most proud accomplishment was the initial launch of Millie and Maine. It really was a thought in the back of my mind for almost 15 years. And I actually did begin a version of it 12 years ago. Unfortunately, stores were not updating their links to their items they had in stores at the pace that I needed it to for Millie and Maine 12 years ago. And so under a different name back then, I said, oh, I don't, you know, maybe this isn't a good idea, or maybe it's not ready, or the world isn't ready for it yet. And I put it on hold. And so having an idea and continually building on it and working to improve each component of it to get it ready to launch was a huge accomplishment. I will say it was like my third child. Mm-hmm. all this time and effort that I had put into it, and then to see it launch and to see people actually want to subscribe and to get looks and links. I went recently to a gathering, and there were several women there wearing some of the looks and links from months prior. And they said, you know, this was one of your looks and links. And I said, you know, I knew that obviously because I, you know, they were pretty recent and I was excited to see. And just they were so excited about it and excited to feel good in what they were wearing and to see others appreciate something that you've put so much time and thought into just felt like a great accomplishment.
That is exciting. So then let's talk about a great challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
I think the challenge, and I said before that I am very open to feedback, but one of my challenges, I think, is I am thinking about every customer in mind. And if I don't feel like I'm meeting somebody's needs in our product, I am almost obsessive about trying to figure out how I can make it better for them. And so I will spend hours and hours thinking of, for example, our petite shoppers. They really do struggle with finding clothes that are going to fit them well that they can purchase online. And so there are only, you know, probably a few dozen brands that do it well online. And I know that a lot of our million main clients aren't near, they don't live close enough to certain stores that they can take our link and go in and try. So I want to make sure that our product is accessible for anyone living in the U.S. and, you know, hopefully at some point overseas. But I will keep at it to the point where I almost drive myself and my colleague, my co-founder crazy, because I'm trying to find better ways to serve the people who, you know, trust us every day to get dressed. So I can say that sometimes I need to just go, okay, Wendy, it's all right. You're doing the best you can for these clients, and you will improve over time. You'll find new product, but you don't have to drive yourself crazy about it. So that's probably one of my greatest challenges.
Okay. In the pre-interview, you talked about relying on word of mouth and referrals from clients. How do you think you have done that effectively? Like what? Because I think that's a really great, it's a challenge, and yet at the same time, it's an opportunity. So I thought it was interesting, and I just kind of want to go down this little rabbit hole for a minute.
Sure.
And I want to know some of the ways, because it's a question that I get asked often. Yes, I understand that, but how do you go about doing it? So what are some of the best strategies you've used for getting really great referrals?
Well, I think luckily for Million Main and for me, our clients are wearing the product. Mm-hmm. And so it's usually in the form of a compliment. A girlfriend of mine said, oh, you are probably going to have three new clients. And I said, why? She said, oh, I was on a girls' weekend in New York and we were, you know, at a restaurant and a woman came up to me and loved my outfit. And I said, oh, you really need to check out Millie in Maine. And her girlfriend wanted to know about it. And sure enough, they both, you know, two of the three women signed up that very weekend. And so I think it is a benefit to us that our clients are wearing our outfits. Yep. And I think they feel proud that they have found a hidden treasure in our company. We're not perfect and we're trying to improve every day, but I do think that we're offering a new type of service. And with the affordability, I think it's something that, just like you said, people love to share where they found a sale. I think they love to share what they're wearing and how they found it. And they like to share good news. So again, that's been one avenue. Another avenue has been, I do believe we are a great product for busy working moms. And so every opportunity that I have to go and speak to moms groups and working moms groups, I love to go and just give helpful advice about, you know, how to store things in a small closet, how to use, I did a great I thought was a great session with moms going back to work after years of being home with kids, and how you can reuse an old suit instead of buying a new one. And just giving helpful tips that will then get passed along. And then the hope is that, you know, people find the content valuable and they think of you when they are looking for help with their wardrobe, and they say, oh yeah, I remember, you know, somebody came and talked to us about how to reuse a suit. Oh, her company is called Millie and Maine. And then they check it out. And then it flows from one person to the another. But I can say probably 90% of our clients, I can connect from somebody who's already been a client. So it's gotta be just the word of mouth. And when they're wearing an outfit and feel good about it, they tell a friend, or someone sees them in it and then ask them, where'd you get that? And then it flows from there.
Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I have thought a bit about this in preparation. And I think working from your happy place for me could be a moment. It could be an hour. if it's a good week, it'll be, you know, a whole day. And it's the intersection of where everybody in my household feels satisfied. boy, that's kind of a tough feat. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am in a good creative flow with my work. And so when kids are doing well and we're in a flow with their schedule and their sports and everything they have going on, and I'm able to, you know, meet my deadlines with Millie and Maine and still feel like I'm not just, you know, grinding it out, that I'm actually having time for the creative pieces that I love most about the work. And when all of that intersects, and I'm not saying it happens that often, I think that's my happiest place.
Well, that's great. And I do think it is a constant balance. And one of the things that you said is it's different every day. And I think right. That's so true. But I will say this. When I was creating the questions for this, and I have switched them up a bit, I changed mm-hmm. the order of them based on some feedback that we received early on doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. But it was just an obvious question to say, what's working from your happy place mean to you? I just sort of threw that in. It's the title of the show. It seems right. like it makes the most sense. But it is the question, historically, that people have the greatest challenge with. And
it is.
I just think that's so interesting, and I probably need to figure that out a little bit more, ask some right. more questions.
It's the secret sauce, right? It's like, if you could tell me when I'm is my happy place when I am getting the most done, or is it when I had a moment the other night, and it was right after I knew I was coming on your podcast, and both my 11 and 13-year-old were reading for pleasure, not because they had to, which I can't say that happens every day. And here I am, a former educator. And my husband was sitting with me, and he was, you know, doing some work, and I was just present with them. I wasn't on any device. We were just all together in this peaceful place. And I thought, maybe this is the happy place. But the only problem was I wasn't doing any work.
But so, you know what? I think that is the work you do allows you to have those moments. And I think so that it all ties back in together. So I think that's so awesome.
True. It's so true. My son really helped as we were iterating Millie and Maine from where it was last year. He's 11 and he had these great ideas. And I said, Eli, start sketching out what you're talking about. And he had such a great perspective on how we should make a couple of these changes. And we took his advice, and it's actually been really successful. The moves that he recommended for us were very good ones. And he feels such a part of the process now of Millie and Maine. And I said, look, you know, when we have our next quote unquote board meeting, I need you ready. I need your tie on. You got to be there and be ready for me. But I think the kids being a part of it too, it makes it even more satisfying, because I want to spark that entrepreneurial side of them, that they know that they can have this idea and take it into a real product down the road if they decide to go that route.
I think that it does that for kids, but I also think it's teaching them just so many different skill sets, and it also helps them have an appreciation for the time that you spend doing it, because they have of an idea of what goes into it. Like, here, help me out with this, or I'm going to ask you this. And then they do feel really special when they have an idea. I think even if you didn't use the idea, that you heard it.
Yeah, everybody wants to feel heard, right?
Absolutely. And I know I certainly have, you know, added my kids into the mix over the years. But one day when my daughter was like, I don't know, 8, and I had her with me, and I was at a dinner, and the CEO of the company was there, and it was like, I said, well, my husband was gone, I think, out of town, and it was all unexpected. And I said, well, can I bring her along? And he said, oh, yeah, sure, because it was just a very casual dinner. So we're sitting there, and he mentioned a particular product that was similar to theirs, and or know what she was wearing. And he said, oh, is that a such and such? And she goes, oh, gosh, no. and he said, oh, well, what do you think the differences are? And he said, I really thought she was going to say, oh, they have cuter charms, or they have, you know, pretty this. And she goes, well, first of all, it's in the marketing. And then she goes, and then it's the packaging.
I've been absorbing all of that.
Yeah. All of it. Wow. And you don't even realize how much that kids are taking in, and then what great skill sets there that is for them when they move forward in life with whatever job it is that they decide to do. So I just think it's so cool.
Yeah. How terrific.
So what advice would you give to others wanting to be entrepreneurs?
I would say think about something you love doing that you do without even, you know, it's a talent you have that you don't even really know is a talent, right? So I was with a friend the other day, and she was like rearranging pillows on my couch and kind of getting my room arranged in a different way. And I said, you are so good at that. Have you ever thought of doing, you know, some interior design work on the side? And she's like, oh, but I don't have a degree in it. And I said, well, I didn't have a degree in wardrobe styling. If you love it, not to say that she, you know, has to go down that road, but I think when people have a passion, there's something that just comes really natural to them, that it's a great idea to think about, could I do this as a job? And could I make it a job where I work for myself? Would it provide me flexibility and also joy, because it's something that I love that comes really comes naturally to me? So I would encourage, you know, your listeners who are thinking about starting a business to be aware of things they're doing in their everyday lives that come easy to them, that people have always complimented them for, and to think about, is that something that I could maybe start now, just doing it on the side, do it for some friends, and then little by little start a business and try to grow it from there.
Perfect. So tell us about some new and exciting things that you're working on and what our listeners might benefit from. And then, of course, please tell us how they can find you and your services.
Great. So Millie and Main is, again, in our second year and providing looks and links. And so our looks and links up to this point have been for day and night. And we are starting to add some capsules that would be focused for people looking for very specific things. For example, in January, our looks and links, you'll have an option if you're somebody who, say, works from home or is a stay-at-home mom and isn't getting dressed up, you know, as often. You might choose to just do our casual looks and links. Or you might be somebody who says, look, I'm good for the daytime. It's when I have a party at someone's house, or we get asked out to dinner, or my husband wants to take me on a date, and then I stand in front of the closet and I have no idea what to wear. We're going to have separate options where you might just want help with your weekend and evening wardrobe. But overall, we have our looks and links, our general looks and links have options for day and for night. But we're looking to really focus, as I told you before, we're always thinking about the clients and what they need and want. So we're going to be looking to add some more personalization in the coming year. Millie and Main is, you can find us online at millieandmain.com. We hope you check us out every month. We do one free look with some links below. So you'll find right now our, we have some holiday outfits out for December, and you'll see a holiday look with some links out there now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that's exciting. And what a fun business. I know one of the things I strive for on the show is to bring lots of different types of entrepreneurs on here that have come up with exactly what you've done. You've taken something that you're passionate about, something that you found that you were good at, and you've made a really viable business out of it. And it's much different than the picture of success of someone else. And so I like to have a really wide diversity on the show, and you certainly have contributed to that. And I'm excited to go check it out myself.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for having me on. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Oh, thanks so much, Wendy. And to all of our other listeners out there, thank you for joining us. We appreciate every single one of you. I know your time is valuable. And the fact that you took the time to listen to us today, that I appreciate. I know Wendy does as well. But we really love it if you could subscribe. That way you'll never miss a single one of our exciting episodes, because they are all very different, very diverse, and I find them to be both inspirational and educational, which has always been my motive in the show, that you will leave inspired, but you will also leave with some really great ideas for maybe helping your dream come true or helping the dream you already have be a little bit better. So thanks so much again, Wendy.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.